you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, our prayer is that you would help us to trust you. Trust you more and more. To realize that your record of hearing and answering our prayers is strong, without fail. You do what is best for us. Help us to trust that you always will. We do pray that the words of my mouth together with meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Guatemala, there is something called a worry doll. These are very small dolls, usually less than 2 inches high. They're made of wire and cloth and are given to children as friends with whom they can share their worries and their fears. These dolls are rooted in Mayan folklore, which tells of the sun god giving a gift to a princess to help her face her fears. Today in Guatemala, it's primarily the tourists who buy the worry dolls. But child psychologists in many parts of our world use a similar approach to a child's anxiety. They give them a doll that can be their imaginary friend to whom they can tell their dark secrets. And in many patrol cars, ambulances, and fire engines, stuffed animals are kept in supply, ready to give to children who are dealing with some type of traumatic incident. In last year's Instant Family movie, the children who were in and out of family court were given court bears each time they appeared before the judge, a teddy bear to give them comfort. It starts early, this anxiety that we have for tomorrow. You know, our fear of the future can paralyze us in the present, leaving us burdened, even immobilized. Americans alone spend well over $2 billion every year on anti-anxiety medication. We are among the most anxious and most medicated nation on earth. We worry about having enough money. We worry about losing our health. We worry about our appearance, our relationships, our jobs. We worry about just about anything, in fact, just about everything. We even worry about whether or not we should be worrying. Almost 500 years ago, French essayist Michel de Montaigne wrote, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." In other words, it was all in his imagination. Most of his fears, his worst fears, never materialized. Anxiety is frightened imagination focused on the worst of what might happen. People in Jesus' day worried about their future too. Their anxieties perhaps were more basic than some of ours. Jesus summarized them in his Sermon on the Mount. These words, "What will they eat? What will they drink? What will they wear?" That was their fear. And their fears drove them to fear to imagine the worst. In the teachings of Jesus, fear is often the enemy of faith. Now, you might expect that to be doubt. But fear is the enemy of faith. So, for instance, when the disciples panic as a storm comes up on the Lake of Galilee, he asked them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" So when Jesus addresses our anxieties, it's not surprising that he makes it an issue of faith. He has us look at God's creation, how God takes care of it, caring for the birds of the air, caring for the lilies, caring for the grass of the field. Now, there's a beautiful lesser to greater argument going on here. It runs as follows. God, the Creator, cares for the birds and the lilies and the grass He has created. How much more will God, our Heavenly Father, care for us, His children? And there's also a beautiful irony here that these lesser creatures of God teach us nervous human beings, the very crown of God's creation, that they teach us something about God's provision. A little sparrow here, a lily there, the grass growing and blowing gently in the wind. All of those together, a chorus of witnesses to the trustworthy care God gives every corner of creation, of His creation. C.S. Lewis identifies four great analogies in the Bible of God's love toward us. And they're in ascending order. First, he says, the love of an artist toward her creation, the way a potter would love the cup fresh off of the wheel. This, he says, is God's relationship with the birds and the lilies and the grass, His creations. Second, he says, the love of a master for a beast, the way a shepherd loves his sheep, the way you may love your dog or even your cat. Third is the love of a parent for their child, the way a waiting dad graciously welcomes home a runaway son. And Lewis says this is where we fit into the Sermon on the Mount. We are our Heavenly Father's children, and He will love us to the end. And the fourth love is the love of one spouse for the other, how faithfully they support and encourage one another. So Jesus is telling us that the antidote to worry and anxiety is to trust in God's proven love for us. He is not saying that bad things won't happen to us, nor is he saying that we can sit back and wait to be fed like Elijah in the desert. This is not permission to give up working for what we eat or to stop praying for what we need. This is just Jesus saying that trust in God's prevailing, persistent love displaces anxiety. It's no wonder then that Paul can write, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Prayer and thanksgiving displace worry. And there's more. Jesus says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the things you need, what you'll eat and what you'll wear, what you'll drink, all these things will be added to you. To seek first His kingdom is to value our relationship with our Heavenly Father over everything else. It is to love the Lord most deeply. To seek His righteousness is to delight in and to follow the Lord's will wholeheartedly. We find ourselves now hip deep in Lent. We're nearly halfway through. And it's somehow less overwhelming to hear Jesus' call to trust. We move closer to the cross every day. And we find our truth there. Sub cruce veritas. Truth under the cross is the way the old theologians put it. Under the cross. Close to the cross. Close to Jesus dying on the cross. We can hear his whispers and we can hear his shouts. And at the end of his suffering, we can hear him say, Father. In dying, he falls asleep in his Father's arms. Entrusting his tomorrows to his Father's providence. And here at the cross, the Father is listening and caring and still providing for his beloved Son and for each one of us, for us, his beloved children. This is a Father who can be trusted. So put down your worry doll and rest in Jesus' love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the offering of our tithes and gifts. We do ask that as